Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of College Hockey Talk. On today's podcast, I'm joined by former Syracuse women's hockey player, Allie Lacombe. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, Allie, and how's everything going?
Good. Thank you so much for having me. It's going great. I live in Nashville, Tennessee now, so just enjoying summer and took a trip to Canada and just kind of, you know, training a lot right now during this off season.
Yeah, that was kind of my first question, but anything cool you've been up to this summer?
Kind of leading into that, I had the opportunity to go to Vancouver. I was asked to be a guest coach for the Vancouver Canucks development camp. Spent the week up in BC. Got to teach one of the days, have my own segment, and be a guest coach and just learn from the incredible development staff that they have there at the Canucks. And got to be part of the prospect game on the bench as well. So it was a week full of learning, a lot of high intensity training, and just kind of, sharing and showcasing knowledge as well.
Were you at the draft as well?
Since I was at the draft. Yeah, I was at the draft as well.
That's pretty cool. You sort of had the full circle of doing the draft and development camp like most of the prospects do.
It was cool. We had the NHLCA, NHL Coaches Association. We had our big networking event and small breakout sessions. So that was really cool. It was a whole day of PowerPoints and hearing from current NHL coaches. And then we had the draft as well. So, and then right away went to BC. So it was kind of the full immersive experience that last week.
I do want to ask you, since you were at the draft and you're a coach as well, is there any sort of player in the draft that you're excited to watch play in the NHL one day outside of Connor Bedard, obviously?
I would have to say Tom, the Canucks draft pick, Willander. Watching him get drafted and then being on the ice with him and just seeing how dynamic he is and how smart and fast he is, it was really fun to watch and be on ice level and say, okay, this kid has a ton of potential and I can't wait to see him in the NHL.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to see him in college hockey next year. It should be a lot of fun. I think the prospect I'm most excited about is Matthew Wood, the guy the Predators picked, just because he did so well in college hockey as a 17-year-old. And I think he has a lot of raw potential, and I could see him being a really good player one day for that organization.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree.
Now, like you sort of mentioned, I recently saw this. You were a coach at the Canucks development camp. How did that opportunity come about, and what was your experience like in Vancouver?
I had the opportunity to train one of their players last season when the Canucks were in town playing the Predators. It was kind of more of an IR skate, if you will, because he wasn't playing with the team at the time, Ashton Saunter. And I know one of their player development staff members as well. They're based in Nashville. And it just kind of worked out like, hey, Al, we want you to work with him, jump on the ice, do a couple of days of training. And he really liked it, I guess, and it went well. Then I got the call from the management staff from Cameron Granato and of the like of Derek Clancy, who just now took a job with the Maple Leafs. But everyone there has just been – Ryan Johnson is my main point of contact, and Ryan was incredible as we went through development camp. It was, like I said, a lot of drill sharing, a ton of learning. The AHL staff did a lot of the system training and stuff. And then we had the skill portion. So it was always a forward split and a combined skate with everybody and then a D section, a D skate as well, and then kind of rotated each day. So even from the off-ice training, seeing the testing that they're doing, off-ice testing was next level and so detailed. I think that was the biggest difference, you know, from level to level, is just the amount of detail that goes into individual player movement and patterns and technique and training.
Now, I know development camps do fun stuff off the ice as well. I was curious if you got to do any of that and were some of the stuff that you guys got to do in Vancouver.
Yeah, I would say fun. We did as a team the Grouse Grind, which was a hike in the mountains straight up 2 miles, and we were timed. And so I was with the Sedin twins, and they are very active and very in shape, and they took off running, sprinting up this mountain. I was trying to just get in there a certain time, and I got passed a lot, but I finished with everyone up. You know, it was a good team building experience, and the view is incredible, and that's just kind of one of those rites of passage you have to do when you're in Vancouver. So that was definitely the highlight at the end of the trip.
That's a lot of fun. Yeah, I saw that former podcast guest, Max Sasson, was a part of that development camp. So I hope he did well, and I hope you had a good experience there. It sounded like you did.
Yeah, he was awesome. It was great.
So let's transition now and talk about the beginning of your career and sort of work all the way up to where you are today. So you're from Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Talk about growing up there and how'd you start playing hockey?
Yeah, I grew up in Minnesota. I actually grew up a little bit up north, and we moved down to EP for high school hockey. I was up in St. Michael, Albertville, Dayton, Maple Grove area. And as hockey became more prevalent for my brother and I really started because my brother, he was a goalie and always asked him, well, shoot on me, shoot on me. And we were kids. And so I grabbed a stick and then I saw him on the ice, and that's kind of how I started playing. Even though he's younger than me, he was my motivation to start playing. And we kind of just went through our careers together. He's a 95 and I'm a 93. So that was fun growing up with a brother in hockey as well. And went to EP for high school hockey and made the team as a freshman. And that year we had 12 Division I commits and we won state. So that was like a wild first year experience. Yeah, that's kind of how I started playing, was because my brother.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy because normally as the younger sibling, you're forced to go in the net and take those shots, not willingly do that. So that's a pretty interesting difference between most players I've talked to.
Yeah, it was roller vice versa now. Yeah.
Now, who was your favorite player growing up? I assume it was probably someone on the Wild.
Take a guess.
Marian Gabrick.
Yes, you got it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, first try. Yeah, it was Gabrick. He was, my brother loved, oh goodness, Dwayne Rollison. Rollison was a goalie back in the day, and I loved Gabrick, so we kind of had our two guys, and yeah, he was my favorite player, for sure. And Chrissy Wendell, she was like a role model of mine.
Yeah, I was thinking I was probably not Parise or Kaprizov, so I was trying to think a little bit back, and so that's the only player I could think of from that time was Gabrick. So I just
Gabrick, assumed. Yeah. Yep.
The only memory I have of Dwayne Rollison, honestly, was I'm a huge Bruins fan, and Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Stanley Cup Finals was between the Bruins and Lightning, and it was probably one of the best hockey games I've ever saw, and it was just a great goaltending battle between Dwayne Rollison and Tim Thomas. Oh, and yeah. Just kind of funny because most people probably don't really know who any of those two guys are, but it was one of the best goaltending battles I've ever seen.
He did a camp when we were kids, and I think he gave my brother signed glove and blocker.
Nice.
We still have it at our house. It's a novelty. So
now, like you mentioned before, college hockey, you played for your high school at Eden Prairie, where you had a bunch of Division I commits and also won some stuff as well. So just talk about your high school hockey experience and like how did it help prepare you for college hockey with Syracuse?
Yeah, it was really a pivotal time in my career because I had to make the decision on myself where I want to go with hockey and take it to the next level. You know, if you're a gifted player, you're a young player and you're talented and you can score, there's a difference between just being good and trying to be the best that you can. And I think I spent those years, I would go to the rink before school, skate by myself, you know, do extra training. We had great facilities. I was like blessed enough to have a rink at school. I mean, Minnesota, there's rinks everywhere. I live in Nashville and there's like four rinks in town. Where at home, you can go throw a nickel and whatever that saying is, there's rinks all over. So I think it was kind of a pivotal time to make that decision as a young player. Like, you know, do you want to play college hockey? What level? Like, school is important as well. Like, you need to, you know, good grades, good GPA to get in. And luckily I formed some of my best friends that I'm still best friends with today, a good support group. And we were just a really tight knit community with good facilities and a great college hockey environment for a high school team.
What's like the best memory you have from your high school career?
Oh, so many. I think, well, winning state was for sure the best memory ever, but just being in the rink and it would be packed and scoring a goal, or my best friend, she was on my lines and she assisted me a lot, so we'd always have that connection, and my cousin as well, I got to play with her. So I think it's kind of just those memories of playing with your best friends and your whole family's there watching it, you know, smaller rink but it feels crowded. And then winning state was pretty cool too.
And talk about the Minnesota high school hockey scene and just what's it like being a player in that atmosphere, because I'm from the East Coast and it's a little bit different up here just because you really can't go play for your public high school and be successful or at least get noticed by Division One colleges. But in Minnesota, that's the complete opposite. And it's pretty cool seeing the XL Energy Center getting filled up for a state championship game for a high school team. You don't see that anywhere else as well. So being a player in that atmosphere, what's it sort of like? And just talk about what makes the Minnesota high school hockey scene unique.
I think, it's obviously a little bit more intense on the boys' side too. And the girls did, we had big crowds at the X, and I think our boys' team was always really good in high school, and that was really fun as well. It was kind of a holiday, if you will. Like, if your team made state, school would be a half day. You would all bus down together and like fill the XL with your fellow classmates. And some people may not had watched a hockey game all year, and some people were always there for every game. It just made it was a very unique environment, and I knew nothing else. Like, when you're from Minnesota, you don't know any different. So then when I moved to the East Coast and I moved down south, I was like, oh wow. Like, I travel twice a month with my boys' teams, and we travel all over the country. I've been doing that for 8 years. So we have to travel. So I realized how lucky we were to be in that environment, and I wish every state had that, because it's such a high caliber, and so many good players come out of high school hockey. And again, the recruiting aspect is that you do get seen a lot, especially if you're like dominating it in that market as well. So it's not a guarantee. Just because you play, you're gonna get recruited, but if you can learn to dominate, I tell kids all the time, just dominate your age level and do the best that you can at your age level before you move up, and don't move up too soon. Just focus on the now.
Now, talk about your recruiting process with Syracuse and why did you decide to go there versus other schools you might have looked at?
Yeah, I've had a lot of schools to kind of choose from, but my cousin Christina, she and I went to Syracuse together, so we were kind of a package deal. So we committed together. Our dads could road trip out together. Sorry. And yeah, we kind of went simultaneously.
Now, as a freshman, what was like the biggest adjustment you had to make to college hockey?
The speed, where everyone is really good around you, and always having to compete and do your best in every lift, every practice, every optional skate, every game. It wasn't. Not that high school hockey was easy, but everyone around you is better, and the game is faster. So immediately it was an adjustment of speed, and I'm like, okay, this is another level. And it's just learning new systems sometimes. Words are different. It's not hard, but people coach differently, and you have to learn the system and buy in. But I think the speed was the biggest difference my freshman year.
Now let's talk about your career with Syracuse. I hope that you can hopefully have some fun reminiscing on some of these games, but you scored your first collegiate goal against Union in your freshman year. What do you remember from your first goal, and do you still have the puck today?
Yeah, I don't have the puck. Classic alley celebration is just two hands up in the air, because I'm like surprised that I scored. I think it was never anything fancy, and I just remember, throwing my hands up in the air, and I'm pretty sure it was against a fellow Minnesotan girl defenseman that I played against in high school, and we talked after. She's like, ah. Oh, why'd you have to do me like that? I'm like, hey, it was my first goal. I needed to get the monkey off the back, so to speak. So yeah, just like that elated feeling. And like, once you get the one, you're like, okay, I can breathe, and now focus on trying to get the next one.
Now, in your sophomore year, your team improved a lot, going from 10 wins your freshman year to 20 wins your sophomore year. What do you think was the biggest reason why your team made that jump between both of those seasons?
Our program put a lot of emphasis on nutrition and body composition and workouts and conditioning off ice. And I think even for me personally, that was the biggest adjustment as well. It was like narrowing down your training and your conditioning. And we had a really good class that came in as well, with some talented players. And every year the classes, even it just kept getting better and better. The recruiting got better. And not that we didn't have a strong team before, I just think the young talent that we brought in Melissa Piacentini and Nicole Renaud, those girls were really dynamic and kind of helped give us that extra jump.
Now that season, you guys won your first CHA playoff game against RIT. Talk about that game from your perspective and what did it mean to the program to get that win and sort of get that first step for the program to move along to where it is today?
Yeah, I think that was a good year to really kind of help put Syracuse on a map in college hockey to be, you know, a competitive program at the top schools in the nation. It was a huge win for us. Anything in the CHA helps put you on the map in the NCAA, and just kind of getting those milestones, any program, you need those. You don't want a flat line or decline. It's just that constant improvement. And I think Syracuse has done a really good job from when I was there till now of building and continuing to grow. I always keep tabs on them. And Paul Flanagan was incredible. He recently retired, but he was the best coach I ever had, along with Allison Domenico and Brendan Knight. Those three were my coaches when I was in school. And from recruiting to professionalism to being a sound of reason, like, you could talk to them about anything. They didn't coach out of fear, but like, there was always that discipline factor. So the environment that they created was what helped set the team up for success. And that's why they're still successful to this day.
Now, you guys lost the CHA championship game to Mercyhurst. Even though you lost that game, what did you learn from that experience that helped your team moving forward throughout the rest of your collegiate career?
Yeah, those are some of the toughest losses. It's funny, I kind of put those in the back vault until you ask about them. And
sorry about that.
No, it's okay. And then those are important. Those are what build. You don't always remember the wins. You do remember the tough times, and because that's what motivates you for the next year. And it was such a rivalry between us and Mercyhurst. Like, that was the biggest rivalry I ever had, besides Edina, Eden Prairie. It's kind of like that feeling, where you just want to beat them so badly. So I think it really instilled a competitive nature in us for the next year too, because we didn't want that feeling to happen again. But, you know, you win some, you lose some, and yeah, that one stuck.
Now, what's it like playing in the CHA and just the competition you face each game? Because it seems to me like it's a pretty underrated conference, especially now, because I feel like there could be two teams that can get in the tournament from that conference, yet it's only the team that wins the playoff championship. So hopefully that can change soon.
Yeah, hopefully that can change. I've seen a lot of shifts. You know, the CHA went through a lot of changes. Like, Niagara used to be in our conference, and then that program folded, and Lindenwood got added. And that was really cool to add another school. And Penn State and Mercyhurst, I think it was a really good conference. And you're right, it was pretty underrated. There was always good competition. I thoroughly enjoyed my time in CHA, but wouldn't change it.
Now, let's talk about a big win that your team had during your career. And during your junior season, you guys got a huge upset, beating the third-ranked Boston College team that year. Talk about that upset and what that game was like.
That was awesome. They stomped us the season before. I'm pretty sure we lost like 9-2. And then we played them at home. And I just remember all of us being so focused before that game to come out and prove a point. And I love BC as a school. I think it's a great school. I've always liked BC, but really wanted to beat them. I think I scored that game too. Yeah, I did, because I'll never forget that. Like, those are one of those games you're like, you know, that was awesome. And like, just being at home, and they're such a fast team. And it was, I think, surprising for everyone when we beat them. So yeah, it was a good win.
But not surprising to you guys, I assume, right?
No, we knew it going in.
I feel like whenever those big upsets happen, like, the team, you always see the belief in the team that got that upset. Like, watching the Panthers beat the Bruins this past year, they interviewed Tkachuk, and he's like, this is the biggest upset in NHL playoff history to everyone except for the guys in that room. And I feel like you really need that belief and that camaraderie to be a good team. You can't just have talented players, as weird as that sounds.
No, I agree.
So heading into your senior year, what type of leadership did you want to bring towards the team? And would you consider yourself a vocal leader or lead by example type of player? I'm assuming being a leader has helped you as a coach today as well.
Yeah, I think I'm a big personality too, and I think that kind of goes into my leadership style. I might not be the fastest player, the most skilled, but I do try to be a good teammate and a good locker room person, or hype music and just kind of, you know, lifting everyone up on the bench, or kind of, you know, letting people know when they need to hear it, not at more as a coach, I guess, like to kind of help motivate. And, but yeah, definitely I would say more of a hype man.
I'd say that's vocal in my opinion.
Vocal, yeah.
And talk about, what do you think was the biggest improvement you made to your game between your freshman year to your senior year?
Oof. Pretty sure when I got in, I couldn't run a mile under 10 minutes. And when I left, I was subbing 6:30 miles. So I think just physical changes and off-ice conditioning was the biggest improvement. And then as my career went on, I was just gaining confidence, right? Like I was healthy scratched one time. And that feeling of sitting in the stands and watching your team play, I said, I don't ever want to feel this again. And I didn't. And that was the one thing that motivated me, was to keep pushing myself, keep up with my studies, and then just try to get better every day.
Now, your collegiate career ended with an OT loss to RIT. How hard was it to deal with that loss, knowing that it was your final collegiate game? And what have you taken away from your Syracuse hockey career, looking back on it today?
That was the worst game I can ever remember, to be honest. It was tough. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that shift, I went down, I hit the goalie in the shoulder, it hit the post and bounced out on a half breakaway, and then they went down and scored, and I was on the ice, and just, it was so heartbreaking, so devastating, mostly because it was your senior year, and you don't really want to finish on that note, but we were a close group, close-knit group, and it was one of those that just kind of stings with you forever. You never really forget that. And that's kind of why I do enjoy coaching, is to kind of, everyone's going to have those moments in their career, right? It wasn't a Stanley Cup final game, but it was, you know, my last game of collegiate hockey. And, but you have to just move on and, you know, think about it, reflect, understand what you did wrong, what could you have done better? And then try to not repeat those same mistakes. I mean, hockey is a game of mistakes and it happens, but yeah, that was, sorry, I don't remember the ending of the question. I just know that was a tough loss.
Yeah. I was just more curious, like, what have you taken away from your Syracuse hockey career?
Oh yeah. Overall, besides that last game, it was awesome. Again, the staff was incredible. My teammates were awesome. I really enjoyed my degree and my program in sport management at the David Falk School, and that had really helped me transition into my professional career, because I had interned with the Penguins, with the AHL team, with the minor league baseball team, all in media relations and PR. So that was kind of my focus outside of hockey, was when I immersed myself into the professional, like, hockey world as well. So it was a really neat experience to do both, to get to play and start my professional career at the same time.
Now, after college hockey, you played 3 years in pro, but just tell our listeners, what have you been up to since graduating? And what's it like being a skills coach? And I guess another thing I thought was interesting, you played in Kazakhstan for 2 years. So I just want to ask about that as well.
Yeah, I played in Austria and Vienna, and then I did a season tour in Kazakhstan. And that was interesting because I was still coaching. So I would fly over for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, come back, and then fly back and forth whenever we had games. That was an awesome experience. Our coach was Russian, and it was just different. I mean, it's different, but it was competitive. It was fun. I learned a ton, learned new languages. The game was fast, and that was awesome. And I played a couple games in the NWHL for Connecticut under Colton Orr, and had a great time with those girls, just kind of jumping out at the end of the season and hitting the playoff run, trying to make an impact. And yeah, every team experience I've had has been different, but all positive. Since then, I've helped develop and build an ice rink in Nashville, Tennessee. So we opened in 21, and we are a privately owned facility. the Nashville Warriors Hockey Club and the Nashville Spartans USPHL junior team as well. And yeah, we have about 150 kids, 7-8 teams, and then the junior team as well. So that's what I've been doing for the last 3 years, was building and developing the rink with our team here, and then coaching skills and teams.
I'm curious, what made you want to do it at Nashville? Did it sort of just happen, or was it like something, a place that you've always wanted to go to?
No, when I was living in Vienna, I came back to the States and had an opportunity for a summer internship and coaching in Nashville. And I said, well, that's pretty neat. I've never been there. And I had family friends that lived here, so I had housing, and that was 8 years ago, and I never left.
Nice, nice. Yeah. The city looks fun. I definitely want to visit one day, so I got to do that at some point.
It's a great town. Lots of music, good food, big sports town, southern hospitality. Everyone's really nice, and I basically formed a big family down here. I mean, I've been here 8 years, almost a decade, so it's been a really great experience in Nashville.
So we're now in a segment I like to call the non-hockey segment, where I ask you some non-hockey questions just to get to know you a little bit more off the ice. First one is, what music do you like to listen to?
Ooh. Currently, I'm on a big Zach Bryan, Tyler Childers kick, and I love Drake. So
yeah,
two very different genres, but both equally as good.
Yeah, in the same way, I can listen to any genre of music. So I would say for country, I'm big Morgan Wallen guy. That's probably my favorite country artist.
I love Morgan. I've seen him in Bridgestone. That was an awesome concert. Nashville, there's tons of concerts all the time. So
yeah,
he's great. Yeah, Zach Bryan is awesome too. So
if there was a movie made about your life, who would you want to play yourself?
A very interesting question. I think Jennifer Lawrence, because she's kind of like me, like can be serious, but also I think I'm funny. I might not be, but she's so funny to me, and she's sporty, and I've always enjoyed her. So that's the only person I could think of. It would be J-Lo. Not J-Lo, but Jennifer Lawrence.
J-Law?
J-Law, yeah.
Yeah. I would say Tom Cruise. I think that would be cool to have him play me in the movie, because I think he makes super awesome, fun to watch movies. And yeah, I would want my life to be turned into some sort of action film and make it seem more interesting than it actually is.
Yeah, Top Gun would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is your most embarrassing hockey moment?
There's been a lot, but I think personally, I don't know why it's so funny to me, but I remember one time at Syracuse, we were doing like a lap around the rink, and I caught an edge right in front of our head coach, and I barrel rolled, but I flew in the air, barrel rolled, but I got up and kept skating, and he was like, that was the ugliest, most graceful thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And that moment just stuck out to me. Like, it, no one else really saw it except him, but I guarantee if I asked him about it, he would remember it to this day.
Yeah.
Well,
luckily no one saw it, so it's not
yeah,
too
bad, yeah. Yeah. Of course, me falling over the blue line.
Now, last non-hockey question. If you could have lunch with anybody in the world, who would it be and why?
I find Elon Musk to be so interesting. Just a, you know, very interesting man. I think it'd be to have an hour lunch just to ask him questions. I would have lunch with him.
I would have lunch with probably Tom Brady. I think just sort of the adversity he went through to become one of the best football players of all time would be pretty interesting to hear. And he seems like a good dude, even though he's a bit weird, but I'd definitely love to have lunch with him and see what he's like.
Yeah, that'd be awesome too.
Now, getting back to some hockey questions now, what should be done to grow women's hockey from your perspective?
Yeah, I think it's really boots on the ground and doing the hard work and not just doing it, you know, or show. Like, it's getting girls in skates, it's being on the ice with them, it's being a role model and showing them like you can do it. It's committing and developing girls hockey from a young age, from 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and it's really just for a market like Nashville, just increasing in numbers and participation, and then and kind of developing those players as they go through. So it's a lot has to do with visibility too, and more education to the parents that it's not, you know, a dangerous sport. I mean, it's competitive and it's physical, but girls can play too. So I think that's the biggest thing to grow the girls' side.
Now, obviously, you work with a lot of younger players. So what advice would you give to those younger players on what it takes to make it to college hockey?
everyone's path is different and everyone's development path is different. Your friend might be 5 inches taller than you, and you might say, oh, well, she's faster and better now, or he's, you know, hit his growth spurt. I haven't. And just be patient. And it's day in and day out consistency. It's not doing something grand. It's going to happen over time. And that stuff takes time. So just to be patient, to be diligent, and just to know that if you're serious about it, just to dedicate your time and be consistent.
Well, before we end this interview, do you have any shout outs you want to give to any of your former teammates, current coaches, and anyone who should we have on the podcast next?
I want to give a shout out to Callie Singletary. She's the girls junior pred U19 coach. She's been coaching in Nashville for 16 years, and she just won a national championship this year with the U19s. And two players, Sydney Russell and Heather Jakey. They have been in Nashville working since they were 12 and went on to play. Sid is at Stonehill University now. So I'm so proud of those two and Callie to help grow the game in Nashville.
Well, thank you so much, Allie, for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate your time. It means so much to myself. Wishing you nothing but the best for your future endeavors in coaching and outside of hockey as well. And take care and stay safe. And I really enjoyed having the chance to talk with you today.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much for having me. The questions are great. And keep doing what you're doing. It's awesome.